Ramsey TV.
It's pouring rain here this morning in Fort Lauderdale. My hair looked decent before I ran out to the car here at 6 o'clock a.m., but I kind of love it. It's exciting. It reminds me that that things are going to change on this earth. People are going to be inconvenienced during the tribulation. People are finally going to have to wake up and realize that there is a God in the heavens. It is God's way of waking people up, because apart from a violent shaking, apparently grace is not that attractive. It takes a lightning bolt of belief, God invading someone's world to help them to see grace. Isn't that strange? Grace, the most beautiful thing you can imagine. It is one of the last things human beings will accept, especially from God. We have our friends in the Christian religion to thank for that, because they have practically spoiled the entire world on God, teaching things that they ought not, passing along as truth myths that demean God and that relegate him to the role of a crazy uncle in the attic that you don't want to let out very often because he's freaking nuts. This is Martin Zender, and I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. You're in the right place, because I'm looking into the scriptures. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I make sense for a living, by the way. Scripture is practical. It's written in a way that it's sometimes difficult to understand, but God does this on purpose so that he doesn't want everyone to get it now. He does not want everyone to get it. So he makes sure bad translations happened, but at the same time, he gives us tools to find what the right translations are. He's given us good translations, but they're harder to find. You have to want the truth to get it today. That's the way God set it up. He is not revealing truth to what I call drive-through Christians. Drive-through Christians. They get their doctrine out of a drive-through window. That is, they pull up at a church, they download the information at the church through the window, hand it to them in a nice grease-soaked bag, and they take it back to their house, they eat it, and there's no nutrition in it. No, it's all saturated fat and sugar and cheap carbohydrates, these doctrines of Christianity. What we're looking into are the weighty things of God, the true things of God, the basic things of God, especially concerning grace revealed to our Apostle Paul. And it is this man, the Apostle Paul, who writes 1 Corinthians and 12 other letters. This man received a special revelation from God that was not the same revelation that was given to Peter from the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the earth. We're talking two distinct gospels in the New Testament, if you didn't know that. That's right, hard to believe. Everybody thinks the New Testament is one gospel. Now, the New Testament contains two gospels. Look at Galatians 2:7, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. The circumcision concerns works, concerns baptism, concerns the promises God made to Abraham, concerns producing fruit worthy of repentance. The other gospel is for losers, complete losers. That's you and me. We're complete losers. This gospel promises heaven to complete losers. What do you get in the circumcision gospel if you work hard, try to follow all the laws, try to behave yourself constantly, try to be humble all the time? The meek inherit the earth. What if you're a complete loser slash jerk? Well, for you, God has reserved the highest glories of heaven. And all you got to do, quote unquote, is receive this evangel. And I'm getting into the details of it in 1 Corinthians 15. Someone asked, this is important, someone asked a question on my video yesterday. Said, Martin, is it possible that we can be so good at convincing people of this gospel and of heralding the word, of evangelizing, if you will, that we can bring someone into the body of Christ whom God has not designated beforehand? The answer, no, impossible. We must keep the horse before the cart here. It is the designation of God that is the most important thing. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he glorifies also. That's Romans 8. And then in Romans 10, we find out that the way he calls people is he sends them evangelists. He sends them heralds. And he commissions the heralds. He has commissioned me. And he commissions others. who know the evangel, who know the gospel, who will keep it safe from interloping elements and bring it to you in a pure manner as possible without any dirty human fingerprints on it. So no, only those God's designated beforehand. And there's also no chance that someone God has designated beforehand for the body of Christ, there's no chance that that person will not hear the evangel sometime in his or her life. They will. They will. Because they were designated beforehand for it. Likewise, you can talk to your blue in the face. You can just try to get this to people every which way you can. And if they're not designated beforehand for membership in the body, they won't get it. Which is not to say you won't have an initial struggle to bring this truth to someone who is designated beforehand. It's just that God destined beforehand the struggle also. And so Paul says, this is why Paul gives a little rule of thumb here. He says, after one and a second admonition, refuse someone. And that is, admonish them concerning what they're believing now, admonish them concerning what the gospel is, and if they fight you on it, I don't mind the grace of God, I'm going to go back to the law, come at them again, try your best, give them your best argument, send them one of my videos, send them a link to the concordant.org, and if they don't get it after that, just like, wash your hands, like pull a Pontius Pilate on them, pull a Pontius Pilate. Someone else commented and said, Martin Zender, I am wavering. I am having questions and doubts about the whole thing. Whenever I hear that, I don't panic. I told this person, look, God is big enough to handle your questions and your doubts. So doubts are not evidence that you are not in the body of Christ. Questions are certainly not evidence that you're not in the body of Christ. However, because of this feigned faith thing, and this person asking the question, I don't believe is feigned of faith, because they said, I'm really looking forward to this, your study in 1 Corinthians 15, because I'm having questions, I'm having doubts. This person just wants to know that this teaching of ours stands up to scrutiny, and that it doesn't go away. And I told this person, I said, this truth is not going away. You can go off for a while and question and doubt, and when you come back, it's still here. It's as solid as ever. This truth is not affected by human opinion. It's not affected by human vacillations. It's not affected by whims, by the weather. It's not affected by false teachings put up against it. This is a bulwark. This is a fortress. This is solid. Your opinion of it changing, coming and going, doesn't change it. It's here. So that's why I herald, that's why I teach, that's why you're here, because we need to remain established in this. We need to talk about this often among ourselves. Once you get it, you can fall away from it. But once you get it, you always have it. But the opposite of that is those who appear to have it but don't. They never do have it. And so when they fall away, it's not falling away. It's just that they never had it in the first place. And there's a key word here that I'm going to get into in 1 Corinthians 15. Maybe I don't know how far past this I'll get. But 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 1. Now I'm making known to you, brethren, the evangel with which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand. So it's not that I want anyone to question and doubt. I don't want you to doubt this. I don't want you to question this. The opposite of that is standing. However, to give anyone like that the benefit of the doubt, I would say that your questions and your doubts are temporary. And so go ahead. Don't think for a second that it's going to affect the evangel or affect God's opinion of you. As you know, I believe that the very enemies of the cross, and even atheists today, they're all still saved. They're just not in the body of Christ. This evangel I'm bringing to you belongs to the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Because some people don't believe this, but they're still in the circumcision gospel. It's a whole another topic. I should get into it shortly here, because the question arose yesterday concerning the death of Christ, and I'll be getting more into that. Didn't Peter believe in the death of Christ? Yes, he did, as an historical fact, but the death of Christ was not a... Nowhere in the circumcision gospel was the death of Christ made to be something to believe in. In fact, if you look in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, Peter is imploring the Israelites to repent of the death of Christ. They caused the death of Christ. He doesn't say embrace the death of Jesus Christ. This is part of our evangel. No, he says repent of it. Recant. Take it back. Admit you screwed up. The death of Christ was never heralded as a keynote of the evangel of the circumcision. I'll get into it with the verses, but it's basically the circumcision. I asked all the time, what do circumcisionists have to believe? What is the gospel of Peter? It's this, that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the Messiah. That's him. That's it. That's it. Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God. Came from God, he's the Messiah. Boom, that's it. You don't have to believe in the death of Christ. You don't even have to believe that he died for your sins. It's just that this is the one that will take you into the promises. This is the one who fulfills your promises for you. Accept him as the Messiah. Boom, that's it. But in Paul's gospel, the death of Christ is so important because of the reasons I gave you yesterday. But today, I want to focus on this word retaining. Because here we get into the topic of feigned believers. I'm making known to you the evangel which I bring to you. Paul called it his evangel, which tells you this is not the circumcision evangel. This is his evangel, my evangel. How dare he say that if he's bringing the same evangel, the same gospel that Peter brought to the Jews? He's not. For a nice little handy verse there, go to Galatians 2:7. It proves what I'm telling you, that there are two gospels in the New Testament. I bring this to you, which also you accepted, in which you stand, through which you are being saved. This accepting this evangel is the message through which you are being saved. Being saved from what? Several things. Ultimately, saved from death, saved from eternal death. You're also saved from the coming indignation, because the tribulation, we're going to get out of here before it starts. Because we are ambassadors of peace and grace, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as ambassadors of peace, we will be withdrawn before God declares war on the earth. Through which you are saved, if you are retaining what I said. If you are retaining what I said. It is possible to hear these things, to think that they sound great. Oh, I like the way the grace of God sounds. I like that this thing doesn't depend on me. And people like to hover around. I'll never forget this woman I met back in 2009-10. I was sharing these things with her. And she said, listen to this. She said, you know what, Sender, what you say is interesting. Oh, damn, thanks, interesting. What you say, it makes sense. Of course it makes sense. I make sense for a living. You know there's a big but coming, and there is. But, here it is, I told you. But, I don't feel the need to land here. Oh, you don't? Oh, do you feel the need to land in Locust Land? Do you feel the need to land in a day where the sun is made 5 times more powerful than it is and it scorches people? Do you feel the need to land? Where do you feel the need to land? Do you feel the need to land in death and not live until the 1,000 years are finished? How about that need? Do you need that? You don't feel the need to land on this. I told her about the salvation of all. I told her about the grace of God. It sounds great, but of course she was in a church. She was seduced by the devil, having sex with the devil in the church. Just signing up for all the false teachings, eternal torment, free will. I just don't feel the need to retain. That's the word retain. It's a Greek word, katecho. The reason I'm laughing is because I can't read my own writing. Katecho. K-A-T-E-C-H-O. Echo. And it means down half. Those are the English elements. Down half. When I saw down half, it reminded me of downloading. This is something you download. You can look at a program on the computer. You can say, oh, that looks like a nice program. That looks like an interesting thing that I should probably have on my computer, but you don't have it unless it's downloaded. There's one thing, it's like people like to window shop. They look, like to look all around at different things. They shop around for a God. They shop around for the truth. Or like this woman, she liked me, so she just wanted to see what I was into. And I said, I wonder if this woman is a member of the body of Christ. I wonder if she's designated beforehand. So I put the truth out. She read my newsletter, saw my videos. I just don't feel a need to land there. What are you, a bird? You don't feel a need to land? Well, you're going to land in death. You're going to land in Tribulation Town in a few short months. So, oh, Jesus Christ, I got to tell you this. There was also someone I knew. This is how insidious feigned belief is. There's also someone I knew who appeared to walk this whole walk, talk this whole talk. And it was more than window shopping. It was actually going into the store, follow this analogy, going not only just window shopping, Paul's evangel, that sounds nice, that looks nice, going into the store and feeling the garments, trying on all the clothes. In fact, coming out of the dressing room with the clothes on, looking in the mirror, spending hours in the store, but in the end, not downloading a damn thing. That is, not taking the clothes to the checkout, purchasing the clothes, and coming out with the clothes in possession. This is similar to what Jesus Christ said concerning the seed. Some seed is sown on rocky ground. The trials of the word choke it. The trials of the world choke the word, and it never flourishes. Or someone else comes to steal it. Why? Because there's no root, there's no foundation, and the wind comes, blows it away. The birds come, pick it up, because it's only on the surface. It's only being considered. Some people consider it outside. Some people actually go into the freaking store and feel this stuff, try this stuff on. But it's never downloaded, it's never retained. And some people can go for years thinking they believe it. I knew a guy who was teaching at the airport where we used to have our meetings in Pennsylvania. And this guy was a herald of the Apostle Paul. His first name was Jim. I would give you his name. I swear to God, because you know me. Jim, what the hell was his last name? Anyway, this guy's dangerous. He was a friend of mine. And he was really speaking on the Apostle Paul. Anyway, come to find months later, he's denouncing the Apostle Paul as a false teacher, and he's becoming a Jew. What the hell is that guy's name? I need to warn you about this guy. I'll find him. This is what I'm talking about. This guy's speaking at a conference who's completely unqualified to teach at a conference because he hasn't retained the truth. He didn't download it. And again, this all depends on the grace of God. It takes the grace of God to do this. I'm not saying it doesn't, but still, we have to make judgments about these things. I was fooled. I was completely fooled by someone who I thought was in the body of Christ. It's happened more than once. It's happened at least half a dozen times. How about this guy teaching Paul and then denouncing Paul? Did he have Paul and then denounce Paul? I don't see how that's possible. I say he never had it to begin with. He was window shopping, and he had the audacity to take the clothes out of the building without buying them and throw them at the people without ever buying them himself. This is insidious. And so I'm going to end with this. It's so telling that Paul begins his gospel. I mean, this is it. Just present the gospel purely, Paul. Just tell us, don't sow anything dirty in here. You're presenting the evangel. I'm making known to you the evangel which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand, through which also you are saved, if you are retaining. My God, he sows in this, he puts a fly in the ointment. He puts a maggot in the soup right from the get-go because he's familiar with it. Paul's seen it. If you are retaining what I said and bringing the evangel to you, aside and accept which you believe feignedly. You believe feignedly. So the belief here is a figure of speech called the figure of retention, where we're retaining a term, believing, that that applies to people who are actually believing, but they're actually not believing because it's described as feigned. It's feigned. We need to be aware of this. We need to, you know, and it's like, Satan is so able to imitate the truth. I mean, even I consider myself to be a fairly decent judge of these things. Even I was tricked, fooled by someone who was a absolute bona fide feigned believer, because this person dove headfirst into the New Age movement. This person handed me Eckhart Tolle's book, The New Earth. Read this. This is wonderful. What great truth. Anybody who could get past page 4 of Eckhart Tolle's book, The New Earth, that New Age guru, without throwing it across the room, simply cannot be in the body of Christ, because it's spiritually repulsive. And I did mean to say repulsive. So be on the lookout for feigned faith.